Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I know that we are the session before the concert, so we're a little lightly attended. But if you're in the back, feel free to come on up. We won't bite, and we won't get mad if you have to leave early. Definitely come on up. My name is Samantha Loveland. I am part of Microsoft now through the Yammer acquisition. I run our customer engagement organization, which is responsible for driving customer success and their use of Yammer at the customer organizations. Today, we have a wonderful team of panelists here for designing and building your Yammer community. But before we get started, I wanted to just, by show of hands, how many of you have used or tried Yammer within your organization at all, or pretty new? Oh, good. Okay, so we have a fairly good team of people that are trying Yammer out. So we have a great group of panelists here that's going to talk to you about their journey and how they designed the community and how they went about building the community for their organization. So we have Miguel Zlot from Molson Coors. He's a solution architect and enterprise social networking evangelist within Molson Coors. We also have Sonia McNeil, the technical manager for Manhattan Associates. And then we have our very own Maria Agneva from the director of community here at Yammer. So we're going to have different perspectives, both from an internal perspective and how people run Yammer within their organization, as well as Maria with an external perspective of how she manages the Yammer community and the external team members that we have there. So why don't we get started with Miguel?
Hi, everyone. My name is Miguel Zlot, and as Sam mentioned, I'm from Molson Coors.
We're going to go behind it.
Yeah.
So Molson Coors obviously makes beer. One of our CEOs of our Canadian business unit said, beer is social. Why didn't we create Facebook? So we started on our journey of sort of building collaboration through SharePoint. We brought several different distributed SharePoint sites and different intranets into one in 2009, and we called it PubTalk. And PubTalk was a way for our employees to identify with our brands and our news and our information in one central location. Within that, we saw that people were collaborating with spreadsheets and videos and images. We were at SharePoint 2007, so it's not the friendliest thing to load video and images in, so we started seeing some issues there and saw the need that we need, to get something else. We also launched Yammer in 2009 as well as a separate project, and what we started to see was the value of connections and the breaking down of silos across our organization. Sales would talk to supply chain, and supply chain would talk to marketing, and everybody was collaborating and becoming more aware of our brands and more aware of what we did. I, for example, in IT, really didn't know a lot about how we sold beer or how we made beer. And through the use of collaboration tools such as SharePoint and Yammer, I was able to learn more and become very interested in what my company did. I drink beer, but I didn't know really how we make beer. Yammer exploded across our company. I was Yammer number one, quickly ran around to our C-level suite and forced our global CEO to join and wouldn't leave his office until he did, and I ended up getting him online very quickly. We went to all the different other business units and said, this is a great tool, and then hundreds and hundreds of emails on invitations on joining Yammer went out, and today we sit at just over 4,000 globally in mostly what is a grassroots movement. It hasn't really been formalized in our company. We have integrated with some other applications such as SharePoint, but it's mostly been a grassroots movement. In 2012, we undertook a redesign of our portal. Yammer was embedded in 2009, early 2010. It was two or three clicks down, and if you know the rule of clicks on an intranet, it was never seen. It was me basically going there to check to see if anyone else would get there. So in 2012, we decided to rebrand PubTalk, and we named it under one word. We wanted one word to describe what we did, and that word is cheers. So I'll probably say it a lot. What we did was we rebuilt our intranet. We called it Cheers Central. And as you can see there, there's a little thing called Cheers Connect, which is what we rebranded our Yammer web part. We found that people were engaged more. As they opened up their Internet Explorer browser, they were able to see the Yammer web part and engage in it. Whether they were active members or not, you still see the feeds are in there. So they could be active lurkers, not necessarily active members. We launched a little video to explain Cheers Connect, and I'm going to show you guys that video now. Hopefully, if this technology works, it'll just start.
We have thousands of employees in dozens of countries across the world, and we are connected. Connected by our values, connected by our ambition, connected by our brew. And now, we're connected by one word, introducing Cheers. Cheers defines how we will communicate with you and, more importantly, how you can connect with others across breweries, across offices, and business units around the world. At the center of it all is Cheers Central. This is the source for news, information, and the tools you need to do your job. Previously called PubTalk, Cheers Central has been transformed to include dynamic, up-to-date global news, localized regional news, special ad space to share the hottest brand and company news, and a new interactive poll to share your views. We've also kept popular items you know and love, like Team First profiles, leadership blogs, and access to the same functional company and team sites that help keep information and beer flowing. And the best part, now you can connect with team members from across the globe directly from our own page through Cheers Connect. What's Cheers Connect? Well, we're glad you asked. Known as Yammer, Cheers Connect is the name of the online community on Yammer, exclusively for Molson Coors employees globally. Here you can share updates, stories and pictures, ask questions, engage with and learn about our brands, send files, propose ideas, and much more. When you join Cheers Connect, you're connecting and collaborating with employees from all over the world, from the US to Canada, to Asia, to Europe, and back again. Solve a business problem with someone you've never even met. Chat live with leaders from the business. This site is created for employees by employees, so don't be afraid to jump in and join the conversation. Cheers is also coming to you direct. Once a week, we'll take the big news and boil it down into a simple email called Cheers Express. Here, we'll link to the top news from Cheers Central and keep you in the know about important company news, policy changes, local happenings, and more. Think of it as your weekly digest sent right to your mailbox. Convenient and informative. So keep an eye out for the Cheers stamp of approval. This means it's written just for you and is PubTalk approved, free from buzzwords, jargon, and corporate speak. And the next time you're enjoying one of our extraordinary beers with friends, remember to toast with the word that connects us all. Cheers.
When we put the two together, SharePoint and Yammer, we got a lot more engagement within Yammer. Every day within the activity stream, we would see people installing the SharePoint application. So again, the lurkers or people viewing what was being said in Yammer was increasing every day. I think to date now there's 2,500 or so people that have installed the SharePoint application, and that's just bringing it from two clicks down up to the front page. So that really drove a lot of high engagement. We've embedded feeds into all of our project sites now where we'll build external communities or external networks for project sites to be able to collaborate with our different business partners and different companies that we have out there like SAP or HP. We don't want to bring them into our domain because managing their security IDs and managing their, you know, the life cycle of contractors that flow in and out of our business is just too much. So we felt that Yammer was a much better way to be able to actively manage those users. The reason why we actually became a Yammer Enterprise client was the ability to create these external networks. And the main network that we have, it's called Club Molson Coors Canada. It's built for our Canadian business unit. And what it does is it bridges all of our employees across Canada to become better brand champions. And when they're out in the field using their mobile devices or they're at a bar, they can, you know, post on Yammer if there's a problem with glassware or if there's an out of stock you know, situation at a licensee or a, you know, place where you would buy some beer. You know, one example was a user posted a picture of a broken case in a retail outlet, and that quickly went through the chain, and it was discovered that we had a glue issue with our packaging line, and it was quickly resolved all through Yammer, all basically in real time. So it was solving real-world business problems for us. It also bridged our retirees back into the business. In the beer industry, you know, it's not a quick turnaround. People stay there 30, 40, 50 years even. And all that knowledge was locked in their heads, and they are really big beer champions. We call them our alumni. And we wanted to build something to bridge them back into our company and be able to, you know, tap into that intellectual knowledge that they have in their head. What we found was, again, managing it solely via SharePoint or solely via, you know, an intranet site with, you know, managed security became a problem for us, not only via Microsoft licensing, but just management of that security. We actually built this with Yammer 1.0, and it was still good enough and did the job to be able to extend out to our retirees who are thriving actively on there, learning about our new brands, collaborating with our employees that are still active today, and sharing knowledge every day. A little bit about how we built some groups here. We have obviously brand groups. We have inside those brand groups, they have sort of product sell sheets. So all employees can know exactly what our sales and marketing team know. The alcohol by volume content or food pairings is a big thing now. Food pairings is not just for wine people, it's for beer as well. We have different conferences. You can see some private groups there. So when we have a sales conference, all the salespeople can start yelling about our competition within that private group. And it's, again, it's held private. And we use applications like Yammerfall to be able to display up on the big screens when we have those. We also have groups that are created by users themselves. We allow that at our network. I actively monitor if there's any duplication and then sort of direct the user, hey, there's already a group made. You might want to go into that one and continue the conversation there. So all those groups are, the structured ones are our brand groups, and Beer 101 group is to learn, if you want to learn more about beer. Those are actively monitored and those are actively updated to make sure that all of the relevant brand information is there. And I think that's it. I'm going to pass it over to Sonia.
Hi, my name is Sonia McNeil. I am the technical manager at Manhattan Associates. And we started Manhattan Associates. I'm sorry. And how we started, or I should just give you a little preview of what Manhattan Associates does. We are a supply chain software company. We also specialize in the first professional services. So we have a lot of consultants across the world in EMEA, APAC, and in the US who go out to client sites to deploy software, to deploy products, and so forth. And so one of the things, the reason why we deployed Yammer was to find ways to connect better within our organization. And how we started was through our CFO. So unlike Miguel, we started at the executive level with Yammer. One day he started created an account, he created a network, he pushed out the email to a couple of people in the organization, and it went viral. I think a week later, I got an email asking me to join a group, and I had no idea what it was. And so it started just kind of a grassroots from executive level, but he quickly structured where he got a project going from the IT internally to put aggressive marketing on the board, to create groups, to create a structure around how we can adopt Yammer through our organization. We started incorporating Yammer last year around October 2011. And initially, again, it started with the CFO sending out a simple email to a few people in the organization. And then once it went through the entire organization, especially around three organizations, we have our professional services, customer support services, and our R&D organization. And they needed a way to connect better with one another, especially around products, around support, around just learning who they are with the new hires. We aggressively started our campaign with marketing. We created a brand around the network, just Manhattan Associates. And it was just went out with some type of marketing throughout the organization to explain what Yammer was, how we're going to incorporate an organization, how we're going to use it to connect to one another with social, with fun, plus how we could improve our productivity and performance. So within a year, we started deploying, integrating with Yammer with SharePoint, and we had a little slow adoption with Yammer and SharePoint, because people already have their way of learning how to connect with one another using documents, sharing knowledge in SharePoint. But once they learned how to use Yammer, it became quickly a way to how they would connect to one another, how they would share knowledge, how they would answer questions to one another, just to get a job, a better way to clients, especially users on the client sites, to get answers to their questions quickly. One of the things we did from Yammer and from internal organizations was how do we develop value around Yammer? And this way we create a success factors. We developed an organization called, a group called Lone Nuts, and they quickly showed us how, or not they quickly showed us, but we worked with Yammer to find ways to how to organize Yammer adoption around users. And up to now, to, November 2012, you can tell that we have 1,100 people engaged, which was a great number since we began last year because we aggressively market Yammer throughout the organization. How do we map Yammer to our business needs? One of the things, like Miguel, we acknowledged there was a gap in how we connect to our internal users throughout the organization. We wanted to break down the silos like Miguel and his organization. How do we be able to leverage our knowledge and share our knowledge across the organization? And we have these mentors, these executive designers and so forth, and we want to find a way to how to get the users or new employees on board to quickly find the information they needed to learn about the product, and it didn't take 6 months to find out how the product was deployed, how to design the product, and so forth. So we wanted to connect people with their subject matter expertise throughout the organization. We also wanted to improve our process and improve our process and how we deliver those products and that knowledge to new hires. One of the things we do quite well was we get a large number of new hires on board, but we wanted to find a way to how to incorporate that knowledge to them and not take 6 months to a year to quickly understand what their product, how to design the product, how to quickly support the product to our end users and to the clients. And it shows how to improve how quickly employees find the right information to take actions. SharePoint is still heavily used in our organization. However, there is some gap in how we can find information quickly using SharePoint. So Yammer allows us to find information quickly, answer questions. We use the question mark. I'm not sure. I noticed that a lot of people raise their hand when they use Yammer. We answer questions or pose questions to internal employees, and they use those question marks to answer questions quickly. And employees not only have to pick the phone up now to say, I'm having a problem with a product line. Can you help me? They basically send out a question on Yammer, and it can answer within 5 minutes. We were a little more structured in how we utilize Yammer versus Miguel. We set up a taxonomy around how we incorporate groups. We created a group to lay out structure and naming convention around groups and how they would be utilized and created. We don't have users go and create groups. We go through a committee and they will set out a guideline how the user would create groups or how a certain support team will create the groups. And we'll use that structure moving forward. Let me go back. We have group admin guidelines. And so through our training mechanism using Yammer, we set up a structure that each community manager will go through guidelines to create the groups. And we do have multiple people who will monitor those groups and make sure they are following the guidelines, that we don't have multiple groups, that we have the right number of active members of those groups. And if the groups are not being utilized, let's say at 2 months or 3 months, we send out an email to the community manager and they will delete the group if it's no longer seeing a lot of activity. Collaboration is a company-wide mission that we have at Manhattan. We start out around creating the groups around product line, and then we start creating groups around support. We wanted to find a better way to how do we support, once those products are creating the groups, well, how can our other support groups like customer service units can support those users in the product line? So they created multiple support groups like a scale product. We have a product group called scale, but then once the product is deployed to the clients, well, it goes to our support groups. And so the customer CSO will get those product lines and they will get those information when they go to the support mechanism. Lone Nuts. Lone Nuts was a cute name that our CFO created to help us manage the adoption, manage the marketing, manage the taxonomy, and manage a lot of the things that we have our structure around the Yammer Group through our Long Nuts Committee. We have two committee groups, one in the U.S. and one in India. They are extremely committed individuals. These individuals are selected usually by volunteers or through their management team. They will volunteer them to be a part of the Long Nuts Committee member. And we meet every 2 weeks, and we would just kind of go through success factors, you know, outstanding issues, you know, what are we looking for, our next move, how can we increase adoption. We kind of reach a plateau right now, and so our thing is to increase training, how do we increase this knowledge to our new hires. So those are the things that the Long Nuts kind of take on responsibility from within an organization. Getting leadership on board. Since we have the C-level who really initiated Yammer in our organization, it really wasn't a difficult task on our behalf. But in order to keep them engaged, to keep them a part of this great solution within the organization, we have to be able to measure success of Yammer. And so one of the things we wanted to make sure we had success factors. How can we measure the business value of Yammer? Wanted to make sure that people are using the product, how many people are answering questions or asking questions, how many are answering the questions, are they the right questions for the users, are they helping them resolve questions or solving problems while they're on client site. So those are things that we try to measure to make sure that Yammer is showing value within the organization. Loanness was an important factor to keep Yammer highly invested in the organization, highly adopted in the organization, and so we want to make sure that we keep those users, ensure they keep using it. It's through training, it's also through communications, through marketing. We have the Yammer Fridays to make sure that we have the new hires come on board, make sure they understand what Yammer is. When they start on first day, during orientation, they go through a Yammer training process along with our other solutions and tools they get familiar with. Measuring success. This is one of the things we have to make sure that Yammer provides value to the business and then we keep it going. Unlike SharePoint, we didn't have as much structure, much adoption like we have with Yammer. Yammer quickly became a viral tool for the end users. They now see it as a fun thing to have, but also see a way to increase their performance and productivity by using Yammer because they stay connected. We don't have to force them to remain connected. They stay connected because they want to remain connected because they're giving the answers to their questions. So we have three things that we measure. Our employees are finding the answer that's most important to them. Like, for instance, one of the questions I found success story is, how can I implement this product on a client site? What are some of the things that I should be familiar with, some of the things I should watch out for? And so when he posed this question, we had several design leads who were responding to those questions, and now he has a plethora of information once he get on the client site, and he's already prepared. Social collaboration is saving our employees time. Again, allow us to get those questions answered as quickly as possible. It doesn't take someone to pick up the phone anymore. It doesn't take them down 5 or 10 email chains to get the information. They can go straight to Yammer and do a search, and they are going to already find those questions that's already been answered by other employees who provide good information by design leads or by mentors. The third is social collaboration is making our employees' job easier and faster. That's another success factor we measure. We want to make sure that Yammer is just not another tool in the organization. We want to make sure that it's actually answering or providing the answers that the users are looking for. It's also making them perform better. And they're enjoying what they're doing. There's a lot of users who go around and they have the Yammer t-shirts now on Fridays, making sure that they keep the adoption up. They go to their employees, go to their manager, and they find out, you know, how can I use Yammer? How can I use Yammer to help me do my job better? Our network has grown within 12 months since we first laid eyes on Yammer last year. We have, since the last time we measured the network growth, I think this was last month, we have grown, engaged 1,100 users to use Yammer. Our network of employees is about 2,400 total members that are using Yammer. this is one of the products, I can really tell you this is one of the products that I can see high activity using Yammer compared to our other products. And it's not a forced adoption. They love Yammer. These are certain tools that we use for Yammer. You can tell that the web is our highest platform that they access to Yammer. As well as we have SharePoint integration with Yammer. There's still a low adoption using the web parts and SharePoint. The users go to the website to use Yammer. But we have deployed, I think, about 33 integrations or 33 sites on SharePoint, and it's growing because there are some business units who see the value of having these Yammer web parts integrated to the product sites like Miguel talked about. Also our product sites with R&D and solutions to have these Yammer web parts involved. We have a few users who use a desktop client with Yammer, and then we also use our smartphones for the consultants who's on a client site to use Yammer. A few of our power tips from users. Before, it was harder to find answers to questions. There was also, we didn't know quite who to ask about an issue. When we have a problem with a product or implementation of a product, it took a while to find out, you know, how to resolve those problems, how to get the answers, and make sure those are the right answers for the question that's being asked. How to share those links without going to email. Sometimes you have those, you know, we get saturated with email on a day-to-day basis. And so sometimes users will get these emails, and they fail to go back to those Outlook to find out, okay, well, my question answered through 50 email threads before I went into the client site. So it was kind of tough, especially for our consultants, to get those answers the way they wanted, when they needed them. And so that's why using Yammer gained access to experts very quickly. We have about 300 new hires on an annual basis. And so one of the gaps we found is that how can we quickly get those new hires up to speed on a product line so they can get on the client site as quickly as possible. So having access to those experts was a tremendous a success for us with using Yammer. The follow feature, like Miguel had mentioned earlier, we can be able to follow, our users can follow those topics, the primary topics they think they are really interesting to solve those problems. We use the question feature, the topic feature, of course, the follow feature to make sure that you're following the key questions, the key answers by the highest active members.
Next. All right. Hi, Vegas. Hi, SBC 12. My name is Maria, and I have the best job in the world because I get to work with Yammer customers every day. We have some of the most passionate customers that I've ever seen. True story, there have been flash mobs created about Yammer. There are cupcakes baked on a weekly basis. So my job is really easy in that our customers have this incredible passion and they work together and they really believe in transforming their organizations, and that's what they do every single day. At the same time, our community strategy is there to help tease out this passion so that customers can work together to solve problems. So why communities? Why are they important? Taking a quick step back to yesterday, Adam Pisoni in the keynote yesterday morning talked about the change that's happening in the world. The business world today is not what it used to be 10 years ago. And we keep using the same tools to solve the problems of today. Businesses need to be far more agile and adaptable in order to deal with innovation. You know, innovations are happening much, much faster today than ever before. To really respond to market conditions and serve their customers the way that they expect to be serviced. Social has changed the way that we interact with each other as individuals and as consumers, and they expect the same from us as businesses. So instead of scrambling, it is upon us to become adaptable so that we can deliver what we need to deliver to the market. And communities, in my opinion, are really what social enables, right? You don't do social for the sake of being social. Communities are the bond that binds. It's what gets people to work together and to really be invested in an outcome that's bigger than themselves, whether it's an internal community for your job, for your company, getting people rallied around the vision, or, you know, is it a customer community helping everyone work together? So how do communities help businesses thrive? Firstly, it does help you become more adaptable. As Miguel mentioned, they were able to respond very quickly to an issue by working together. We have another customer, Westfield Australia, who noticed that there was an issue with the gift cards that they produced, their shopping center network, and they were able to very quickly turn around a solution within a matter of hours. At the same time, innovation, right? Innovation is not really limited to R&D departments anymore. It's really the everyday innovation. When something is not working, when the process is broken, each employee is empowered to find a solution and to work with people across the organization and outside of the organization to solve it. Employee engagement and customer engagement, huge. 71% of employees are not engaged in their jobs per Gallup research. And that's a huge missed opportunity because, as we all know, engaged employees produce more, and companies where engaged employees work actually return higher returns than on average in the stock market. And finally, best practices exchange. In our customer network, which is actually what I'm going to focus most of the discussion on today, that's where customers come together to find solutions to issues that they're dealing with. One brain is good, two brains are better, but 5,000 brains are infinitely much more effective. So how do we, what is our community strategy at Yammer? What does it look like? We bucketize them in basically two large buckets. Some of our communities are evergreen. They're the sustainable conversations that live on outside of any particular project. We have our employee community. We have the Microsoft employee community now with 90,000 of our closest friends. And we also have short-term communities that come together for a particular purpose. For example, 2 weeks ago, we gave our first conference and we created an online community to augment the physical connections that people created during the conference. Adam Pisoni in his talk yesterday, I'll keep mentioning him because he's amazing. In his talk yesterday, he said that a company's Yammer network is really the manifestation of its culture. And to create a culture that allows Yammer to flourish, to really unleash the benefits of working together, you have to have the right culture. If people are afraid to share, if they think they're going to get fired for saying what they need to say, for asking the difficult questions, your Yammer network is not going to do very well. So culture is very, very central to us at Yammer, and we actually use Yammer to onboard and pre-board our employees. They get to understand how to use the product, which is really the lifeblood of our organization. They get to connect with other employees. They get to learn about the company, but they also get to observe and be part of a culture from the day that they get onto Yammer, before they start working. Really powerful. If you have an opportunity to really get your employees together, you know, before they join the company, this is where the behaviors get modeled. In our customer network, so we work internally effectively together as employees. We also work with our partners, our customers, our developers in the same fashion. Our product is community. Right, it's what community enables. It's working together. It's the business value that community provides, and so we have to do that with our customers as well. We increase the line of vision that customers have within each other, and from us to them. Advocates are born. People are able to solve their problems faster. Yammer advocates in their organizations can oftentimes feel very lonely because they're changing the way that things have been done for the past decades. You know, some companies have done things a certain way for many, many years. It can be a very lonely job, but by bringing all of our customers together, it feels a little bit less lonely. We believe in extending online and offline experiences for our customers. And as I mentioned, we have a Yamjam network for our conference that we held two weeks ago. Great way to really augment the experience that people have in person. So what is a community manager? One of my friends, who is also a community manager, said this. Community managers are like Pokemon. Everybody wants one, no one knows what it is. And so the community manager is this person that sprinkles pixie dust, and the communities just work. You gotta have a community manager. I'm biased, but I strongly believe that for a network to be successful, you have to have that one person who is ultimately responsible for it. How many business projects have you launched without a point of contact who is responsible? Not that many. Communities are the same. A good community manager knows how to connect people, get them to talk about issues, direct conversations, you know, when they're positive or negative, into a productive outcome. A community manager will also pioneer use cases. Different companies use Yammer in different ways. What works for company A does not work for company B necessarily. This is the person that has the deep understanding of the fabric of the organization, of its culture, of its organizational structure, and how a tool like Yammer will be productive and most effective in the organization. A community manager oftentimes sparks conversations. Conversations happen on their own, so we have this steady state, you know, of conversations, collaborating on projects, collaborating on educational materials that our pioneers actually give to their networks. At the same time, we're very cognizant about making sure that engagement stays up and giving it spikes. So every month, we have an online chat that we call Yamjam. Actually, our customers coined this term. And it's an opportunity for people to come together around a particular topic of expertise. It's a great way to highlight the expertise that already resides in our customer networks and to draw more people into the conversation than normally would join. One big thing that I learned through this job is that for people to come together to solve the really big, hairy, audacious goals, you can't ask them to do that from day one. Make it easy for people to get to know each other and just start sharing. For example, if I ask people, you know, what is the business value that you are capturing with Yammer? They wouldn't necessarily want to answer if they don't know the other people in the network, if they haven't gotten to know them, if there isn't that amount of trust between the members. Earlier on in a session, somebody talked about tacit knowledge. There has to be trust to get the knowledge out of people's heads and onto Yammer and onto a place where people can see, because people are not necessarily going to just share everything they know. So make sure that you're doing a fair bit of icebreakers, that you're asking people to get comfortable with each other, and then you can elevate the conversation. Because if you have a new network and you ask people, you know, the really big questions, they're not necessarily going to share because they're going to want to suss it out a little bit more. So where do you start? Just like with every business initiative, you have to answer the W questions. Whom is this network going to serve? Is it a customer network? What kind of customer? At what point does it become interesting for our customers to talk to each other? What can they do together that they can't do alone or by talking directly to us as a vendor? Where are these communities going to live? How do people get into them? If it's a customer network, you have to have a process to vet people to get in, and also how do people leave, for example, when they're no longer a customer. Thinking through these processes will help you have a healthy community where people are engaged on a topic. You want to bring people together that are similar enough to where they can find a common language, But you do want them to have differences, creative differences, so that they can, you know, through creative tension, that they can create problems that are much more interesting that they would create on their own or with people who are just like them. And why? Why do you want this community? The worst reason to have a customer community or an employee community is because everyone is doing it. You have to do some soul searching and understand what it is that you're trying to achieve, and that will help you also map your success metrics against your goal. And to close, finally, some steps for a healthy community. As I mentioned before, how people get in and out of your community is actually really, really important. It's something that a lot of people don't think through very carefully. If it's an employee community, obviously everyone gets to come in. When you first launch a community, think through what the experience, what the core experience is going to be for a new member. Invite a core group of people. Make sure that they're aligned with you on the vision of this community. And those are the people whose behaviors will be watched by new entrants into the community. So if you do it well with your initial sort of core member, if you do a really good job of evolving best practices in that community, you won't have to do a ton of community management or, you know, crisis management later, because people observe and watch and see how people are in a community, and they want to do the same thing. So it's really, really critical as you're building your community. Structure. So Sonia talked about the group structure that they have and the governance around group creation. It's very important to give people spaces in which they can come together with other people like themselves. So for example, in our customer network, we have vertical groups, Yammer in retail, Yammer in healthcare, so on and so forth. We also have spaces for experts and for newbies. This is something I've learned. They don't always like each other because the older members think that the new members ask really stupid questions, which is not true. I think it's really, really productive to have the new members and the old members working together because they bring something to the table. But again, you want to give them an opportunity to have their own spaces. Think through the topical direction that each group can take, but also make sure that people can talk to each other and really not get into their own silos and never get out of them. Make sure you develop a new user experience. What do you want people to do when you come into the community? Have you trained them? Have you explained to them what the groups are? Have you encouraged them to create their own groups? Have you taught them how to search so that they're not asking the same question over and over? Think through how you will help members to also connect with other members like themselves. Make it easy to share. That's really important, right? By creating a group structure, people will understand, you know, where certain content goes, but also, again, make it easy to share, right? Start with icebreakers, get people comfortable talking to each other. And make sure that you are giving people an opportunity to really adjust their thinking into this working out loud concept. That it's a behavior change, it's a departure from how we are used to working together, how we used to working with our customers and with each other. So be patient. As a community manager, I oftentimes want certain things to happen right away, but then I have to pull back and it's going well, we have to do a little more. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Sam because it's time for our panel.
Okay, great. So thanks Miguel, Sonia, and Maria for that. You know, I have a number of questions that I've got here, but I also wanted to turn this over a bit to the audience and, you know, make this more interactive as well. So if you have any questions, you know, please feel free to step up to the mic. Or if you have a loud voice, I'll try to hear it from here. It's a little hard to hear over here. And, you know, ask the question and then we'll repeat it. So if you do have any questions, raise your hand or go up to the mic. Any takers first? Okay. Okay.
Or is there something I need to push here?
It should be on.
Hello.
There we go.
This is better. So between Coors, which had something like 2,800 people, and Manhattan, which had something like 1,800 people, what does that represent as a percentage of your total employee population?
Can we turn it, the mic up a bit? It's very difficult to hear.
So are you, I think I heard, like, what percentage of the number of users does it represent on their network? And this was specific to Sonia?
Right. So to Coors, you had something like 4,000 people, and Manhattan, you had something like 1,800 people. Now, is that 10% of your total employee population, 200% of?
So what does 100%? The 4,000 represent? Is it 4,000 out of 80,000 employees? What's that number represent?
Right.
In the case of Manhattan, what number of users are engaged? What does that represent out of your total population at Manhattan?
So we have, I believe, 2,500 employees. And so we have about 90-95% of those employees engaged in Yammer. Now, three of the main organizations are what I call the revenue organizations, are professional services, customer support services, as well as R&D. Those are the main drivers around Yammer, because they are dealing with our customer-facing products, and they go on their own client sites. So given that 90% of employees are engaged in Yammer, the three main organizations are the ones we really try to push business value using Yammer.
For us, the 4,000 represents out of 6,500 knowledge-based workers right now. We're integrating a Central European business unit as well, so that number will go up. So we're not all the way there, but again, it's primarily a grassroots movement in our company.
Question in the back?
Hello?
Okay.
Hi. Just a quick question. First was, how did you kind of organizationally approach the idea that people could talk freely in these forums? And I guess secondly, what tactics did you use to rein in the executives from simply, you know, taking all the information and using it for their own purposes?
At Molson Coors, what was really great about it is we actually built in a philosophy to our company just before launching our new SharePoint portal and Yammer. It's called Our Brew, and there's a printed guide on everybody's desk at the company, which has all our core values and all our core beliefs and how we will work and what we will do to accomplish the goals. And Maria alluded to it. We actually have four BHAGs, which are big, hairy, audacious goals. And we everything we do, all of our performance, personally and both for the company, are measured against these BHAGs. So we actually had it built in, a culture of open and honest two-way communication, and where anybody could, you know, comment or freely say what's on their mind. And Yammer just sort of, you know, brought that out into the electronic world where everybody could see.
Any other questions from the audience? Okay. Okay, so question is, how do you promote business versus kind of social, or more the water cooler effect?
When we first started, we were pushing to have fun with Yammer. It was more around social collaboration versus business. And then when we started putting structure around Yammer, that's when we started encouraging and use Yammer more so for business versus fun, even though we have 30% fun that we're promoting, but 70% we want it to be business value. So we try to have that balance. We try to do aggressive promoting around profiles, add your expertise, add a picture so people can know who you are. And then, you know, we have these certain groups where you just can, you know, chat about anything. Anything that you would like to chat about will be centered in these certain groups. But we have these other structure groups around business.
At Molson Coors, we're a beer company. I mean, there's not much that's not social at our company. So it was pretty easy. It's a lot of social, but we're promoting brand events that we do, or we're promoting food pairings that we've done, or, you know, we're promoting retail display cases. So it's all fun stuff, like during, you know, our when there was a hockey season. Last year, we built NHL displays out of our cases that spelled NHL, and everybody posted them on Yammer, and people spawned ideas. So almost everything we do on Yammer has a social aspect to it, just by the nature of our business.
I'd also add that social banter is actually really healthy. I would look at it as a component of your community. If you want people to get to know each other and to really trust each other, You can't do that without social interactions. People don't go to work as robots and just do work. People have always talked around a water cooler. They have gone to the pub to get a beer together. It's the same behavior, just a different medium. You have to have both. If you tell people that they can't be social, guess what? They're not going to want to use it. Social media and social enterprise social networks are different in that people don't have to share. It's a strictly opt-in behavior. And if you want people to share, if you want this to be a community, a place where people come to get work done, they have to want to come there.
Fastest way to ruin a social network is to tell people not to post something there. We've pulled down two posts in our entire, and we've been a customer of Yammer since 09, and we've pulled down two posts, and that was more due to a global understanding of one phrase in one country means something completely different in another country. So it wasn't for the fact that it was inappropriate or anything, it was just somebody could have taken it the wrong way, or it meant something different to another person in another country. So we leave everything up there.
I'd encourage you to create a social group so that the people who are going into groups for business value and to collaborate on projects, that way they're not getting the social stuff when they don't want to. This way people can subscribe to different groups and get what they need. So if they want to be social, if they want to meet up with other people in their area, they have the opportunity to do so.
And that's the philosophy we use, to have fun. Regardless of what you do, have fun with Yammer.
Question from the audience?
I have a question specifically about emails. Did you have a lot of distribution groups or emails going on before you used Yammer, and what happened to that after Yammer was adopted?
Question.
Okay. Question. I don't know if everybody heard it, but it had to do with email distribution groups and whether or not the companies up here had a lot of use of email distribution groups prior to Yammer, and what's their existence like today? Do they still exist, or how is it used?
We actually are trying to find a balance between the two. We do have a lot of our, especially in CSO, the customer support units, where they're moving away from using distribution groups to Yammer. And so what we're doing now is monitoring. I think they started a project maybe a couple of months ago for this particular group, where they're creating these support groups to mimic the distribution groups. And they're slowly, you know, gearing those users and employees to use Yammer versus those. And so once they get all of them to Yammer, they're going to get rid of the groups.
We largely still have the same number, but they're used for different things. Our distribution groups are me to you conversations, right? Actually, it's not even a conversation. It's me to you information. So when our CFO or CEO needs to get information out, it will come from them to everyone. We'll use Yammer when we want to engage in a two-way conversation. So there is a good difference between the two at our company.
Any other questions from the audience?
I knew you were going to do this, Clark.
So what's the, and it's open for the both of you, actually. The single biggest criteria, I guess, for success, and it doesn't have to be limited to one necessarily, but really just kind of the thing that, the tipping point, or the thing that sort of put your networks over there, your, you know, adoption, your rollout, over the hump, as it were, to kind of declare success.
That's a great question. So I don't know if everybody's able to hear, but what was like the single biggest success criteria in terms of getting, you know, usage over that hump, that initial hump?
At Molson Coors, the big thing that we found that drove people to really come to it and engage in it was what Maria alluded to, were Yam Jams. We at Molson Coors, again, everything has to be beer related for some reason, so we call them happy hours. And it's where our C-levels will engage with the employees for 1 hour every month and answer anything. We had one recently about quarterly results, and our CFO and his team of financial wizards were typing feverishly on Yammer, answering all these very, very difficult questions about our quarter and how we did and how our business is expanding. And they absolutely hated and loved it. They hated typing, and they never really typed that much in their careers. But they loved the engagement that they got from employees that they had no idea were even out there.
I think that was a big part of it, but I think another part is having the community managers really engaged, really pushing the adoption of using Yammer in their day-to-day activities and their job. Without that, I think it would have been a slow adoption. Also, the long nuts, our committee, around understanding what Yammer is, what the purpose of using Yammer, how to incorporate Yammer into their day-to-day activities at the work, but also how to engage their employees, how to make it fun for them to use Yammer without them feeling like they're being forced to communicate through Yammer. Because initially there was a kind of division within the organization, especially on the IT side, because it wasn't driven by us. It was driven by the CFO, of course. And so we didn't have a chance to understand how to use Yammer, how to incorporate, how to push on the IT side. But so it became a more of a business-driven option. And so having the business, having community managers, having executives involved heavily kind of took it over the top for us.
Great. Any other questions from the group? Okay.
So this hasn't happened yet, but this is a result of an overactive imagination. I spend sleepless nights on it. If you have someone who poses a question, and a fairly technical question, and someone gives the wrong answer, and then someone else comes in and corrects it, and then someone else comes in and corrects the second guy, and it disintegrates into a flame war, has that happened, or how would you react if it did?
So again, the question was, if someone asks a question, but someone responds incorrectly, and then another person responds to correct that person, and then someone else responds differently, how do you, you know, have you one, encountered that situation, and then two, how did you handle that?
We've had the situation before, and we usually let the community managers kind of choose how they direct it, and I don't think anyone kind of respond in a negative way. They've kind of encouraged them to, this is the correct way or this is the right answer. And depending on what that answer is, the correct answer was, the number of posts kind of validate that was the correct answer to that question. And they kind of gauge everybody to that correct question or correct answer to the question. But the one who answered incorrectly, they quickly kind of figure out, oh, I thought you meant this. You know, I apologize, but my question, my answer would have been incorrect. You know, make sure you listen to the other question. Kind of just what we do, you know, in face-to-face. If we was corrected by someone, we was like, oh, you're right, that is right. You know, same way we would do it in Yammer.
A couple of things. First of all, not every question has the right answer. And that's the world that we live in, right? It's, things change fast. Certain things go with a process. But certain things don't, and it's all about handling exceptions. And a larger and larger percentage of our work is actually about handling exceptions. So there are a lot of things that don't have a right answer, and the community actually is very good at coming together and creating solutions. If there is a right answer, it's up to the community or the community manager often to figure out who has that source of truth and make sure that person gets engaged. And sometimes if that person is not on Yammer, walk over to the queue, call them up, say, hey, there's a really good question for you on Yammer. Make sure that people are getting engaged and that the people who have the knowledge are able to respond in kind.
Just to add one last thing is I look at it from the reverse. It's not so much is the answer right, it's is there information, right? Because when I'm looking for something, I want all the information from all the sources that I can get. And in Yammer, the sources are the employees of the company. It's important to me to if I'm building a widget, to take a Microsoft term from way back, if I'm building a widget, I want to build the best widget that I can. And I don't really get to see it from all sorts of views. I can't see it. I can see it from IT. So I have a bunch of IT people and I'll build an IT widget. But if I get finance and HR and supply chain and marketing and sales and everybody to collaborate and lend, they're really dumb most of the time, but sometimes insightful ideas or opinions or answers, what I'll do is it'll change my thought process to be able to build that widget even better. And that's the important thing. It's not so much about the answers, it's how I look at what I'm doing.
Great. Well, I wanted to...
Have
one more?
One more.
Sorry, I missed it. Okay. You can, if you want, you could
just
yell it loud to me and I'll try to decipher.
But it's kind of like difficult. having, like, some people say, like, numbers on the poles, but we need, like, more.
So are you asking, are you trying to shut down networks on your...
No. Like,
I'm sorry.
We have, like, 30 communities.
Uh-huh.
Well, like, some community managers, they are not, like, you know, manage well of their community.
Okay.
So we're finding ways to identify what kind of communities are, like, good communities. Like,
so what kind of metrics would you identify? Okay, so the question is, you know, what kind of metrics would be good criteria to use to say a network or a community is working well? So are there certain metrics? And I know Manhattan has quite a number of metrics. What do you, what do you determine to be kind of a good community?
Is it kind of close to campus? Is it in the future, like, maybe like data
reports? Well, some of the metrics that we capture is the number of posts per user, who is the most active poster, is the group being utilized, are there dead groups, how many members are a part of that group. I mean, there are so many metrics that we kind of capture to figure out if the network is healthy, and also to determine the adoption of the network. Because right now, our adoptions were really high when we started, but we kind of hit a plateau now. So now we're thinking about, okay, what else can we do? So we look at training. Training, we also capitalize as a metric. How often are we training our new hires and also our existing users? Because there's a lot of knowledge for our mentors, for our design leads, and so forth. And so we use that to determine, you know, how the knowledge is being funneled through Yammer. I mean, there's so many different metrics that we...
So I think, you know, some other things to think about is not just, you know, the number of users, the number of posts that are happening to a particular group, but, you know, think about what are some of the business challenges that you're facing within your organization just in more general terms, and then how best do those communities help support those networks, and are they, you know, and are they successful in achieving those? So maybe looking at it more from a business challenge, business value perspective, and not just adoption and how engaged users are within those networks.
Yeah, also another question, you mentioned, like, we need trust, like, among, like, community members so they can, like, engage better. Well, like, we have, sometimes we have communities that are, like, for international company employees. So they might come from Asia, they might come from Europe, they come from US, but sometimes they can't meet.
So the question is around, you know, how do you build trust amongst individuals that may not have ever met face-to-face, but building that trust within your community or your particular group? And I think we're going to have this be the last question to wrap things up.
Sure. So that's the reality in a lot of multinational corporations, is that you may be working alongside with people on email or on the phone that you've never met before. And so Yammer and other enterprise social networks actually give you an opportunity to meet without ever having to meet in person. So I think having icebreakers is actually healthy because it allows people to sort of see what other community members are all about. Getting work done together, being driven by a common purpose, does build trust. And sometimes you do have to work with someone in order to figure out how to work more effectively with them. So having groups within Yammer that are project-based, you know, really sort of going deep with someone, getting stuff done, that's really important. I would say Yam Jams or any kind of event that can bring everyone together around a discussion point that's important to the whole company, for example. Like, what is the future of the company? Or getting your executives on board is also really important because they help model the behaviors that we as members and as employees exhibit. So that's really key, too.
Great. Do you have any other points to add to that? I think those were great.
We use marketing heavily, campaigning Yammer throughout the organization to kind of establish, I guess if I was the manager and I want my employees to use Yammer, I'm campaigning through my employees. I'm talking to them, you know, utilize Yammer, you know, to talk on key points, you know, to collaborate on those key points. It's kind of almost get to know me through Yammer, and I'm encouraging them to know me through Yammer, uploading profile pictures, exposing my expertise through Yammer, just using those as connection points with everybody throughout the company. Because now, like you, a lot of my counterparts in India and EMEA, I didn't know. But now, because I have a picture on Yammer, now they know me now. They're sending me email like, hi, Slime, my name is X, Y, and Z. I'm doing X. Can you help me with this? Because now they know what I work on. They know that who I am without me having to pick up the phone now.
Great. Well, thank you, audience members, for attending the session today. And thank you to our panelists.
Thank you.
So.